Chris and Denise, you guys want to come up and join me up here? We got a couple stools, and I think you'll love hearing from them, their heart, their passion. And every time I hang out with both of them, I just enjoy them so much and thankful to get to know them. So let's give them a welcome.
Thank you, sir. You want them up? Well, good morning. Or other words, buenos dias. ¿Cómo están? Y'all want some more Spanish? Me llamo el guapo de Guamaca. Who got that? That means I am called the handsome guy in Guamaca. Okay? So no, it's good to be here with you, Bridge Bible. It is great. It's been a pleasure for the past 2 years getting to know your pastor. And just let me know, we are from the South in the States, and Dave's been around me a good bit. If you need him to translate for me, that's fine, okay? But it is a pleasure to finally get to meet y'all. He's been asking us to come, and I told him, I'm not ever coming in the wintertime. I hate the cold. And let me tell you, it's warmer here than in Louisiana, okay? But we do thank y'all for praying for us, financially supporting us, and we just want to share a little bit of what God is doing in Honduras. You know, we are there, we are part of it. He's using us as a vessel, but God's doing it all. He's providing for it, and hopefully to encourage you today to come down, be a part of it, and share what's going on. But most of all, share God's love in Honduras. Because it's needed everywhere. It's needed here. It's needed in all the countries. And that's just where God asks us to serve, and that's where we are. You want to say anything before we start? Okay. You got a slide, first picture? We put these together last night. We missed one there. Should be one of our family. Is it on there? No, it should have been the very first one. But we had a picture. Go ahead.
Well, we'll just introduce our family without a picture because that's always a question. Do you have children? There they are. So Chris and I are from Louisiana, and we have three daughters, a son-in-law, and four grandchildren. And two of our daughters, Riley and Olivia, the middle and the youngest, they were with us in Honduras. Riley was 13 and Olivia was 6 when we moved there. And just this year, Olivia, our youngest, moved back to Louisiana to start college there. So it has been a transition year for us. And we are doing pretty well with it overall. But we just wanted to show you a picture of our family. And our daughter and her husband and our grandchildren all live in Louisiana, right near where we live. And so we're able to see them when we come in. But that's always difficult to be away from your family. But like Chris said, we were called to Honduras. Our oldest grandson was 8 months old when we went. And so it's kind of their life, too. They know, well, Grandy and Pop show up once a year, basically. And so we just try to spend that time with them and just show them that we love them, even though we have to serve the Lord in another country.
Okay. We've been in Honduras 11 years. We fixed to start our 12th year, but we've been with the mission 12 years. We did a year in Costa Rica to try to learn Spanish. And that's still a work in process. But we're just going to do real quick a overview of all the ministries that BMDMI has in Honduras. But then we're going to focus on where you can come and serve with us in Guamaca, Honduras, and let you see everything you can do, and maybe you have a new idea of somehow we can minister to the people of Honduras. But BMDMI has been existing. This next year, we're going to celebrate 50 years of being its own independent ministry. We're not we're a Baptist ministry, but we're not associated with the Southern Baptist Convention or nothing. We have own entity, have to raise our own funding to exist. And like I said, next year celebrates 50 years. We were founded by a Southern Baptist pastor, went to Honduras to share the gospel. And while he was there, he went to share the gospel and plant churches. And while he was there, he saw the need for medical and dental. And actually, the first team that came was a small dental team. And they used teams as a way to draw a crowd, to share the gospel. Instead of just him individually meeting people one-on-one, if they had a medical team, a dental team, or any type of team, you would draw a crowd. So you were able to share God's word with more people. And that's why we love teams. You're a miracle to draw a crowd and to help us share the gospel and grow our churches. So first in this slide right here is a picture of our Bible Institute, where Dave has been several times and sharing with our pastors to grow their knowledge so they can lead in their communities. BMDMI has 152 churches planted just in Honduras. I forgot, we do have other ministries in Nepal, Guatemala, and Nicaragua also. But in Honduras, I'm going to focus on Honduras today, because that's where we want you to come and serve with us. But this, like I say, is a picture of some of our pastors, the majority of them. I think we had 100 and...
Which time? It was like 150 the first time.
Yeah.
I think it was 176 between 26 from Nicaragua.
So you say we got 152 churches. We've been existent 50 years. We got some retired pastors that still come. And we got students that are assisting at the Bible Institute. Next slide. There they are in worship. And I think y'all might have seen that before. Well, these aren't in order, but okay. But so here's a picture of Guaymaca, where we serve. If you look in the front building there, the big green building in the very front, that's the church. And then the other, right straight behind it, another green roof, dark green roof. That's our surgical center. Then you go to the left, that's overnight rooms, dental clinic. Then on the left-hand side would be the medical clinic itself that BMDMI has in Guaymaca. And straight behind there is team housing. You can just hold up. We'll go right here. No, you're good. You're good. So this is another ministry right here. This is our children's home that we have in Honduras called Good Shepherd's Children's Home. As of right now, we have 35 children there. At one time, we had over 200 children years ago. But that's before the government got stricter on rules, regulations, and everything. And we just had slowly went down with numbers because they started adding more and more expenses on. We almost have as many employees as we do children, and that's government regulations on us. And so it's costing way more to raise these children. And so it's a great place. You don't see a big dorm in that picture. It's individual housing. And we have a caretaker in each house. And we try to raise them in a home environment instead of a big dorm setting. So this is just one of our children there at the home, just carrying a little one around. The bottom picture on the right there, we have a bilingual school they attend. It's a private school. It'd be that bottom picture on the right. Yeah, no, they do. Oh, I'm sorry. So this is our school right here, part of the school system. It's open to the public also as a private school. It's bilingual school. It's on the same ground as our children's home. And so it's great that the community has a chance to go to a private school, get a Christian education, a bilingual education. So we have 35 children at the home. Not all of them go to the school because some of them go to public school and some are just too little to go to school. But we have 175 children that attend that school. That's just one of the students learning. Okay, next.
So this is, as Chris said in the picture that talked about Guaymaca, that's where we live, and that's where we've served for the last 11 years. In Guaymaca, we do a lot of things, but one of the things that we focus on are surgeries. We have teams that come to do surgery, and that's what this picture is. It's a picture of a team doing surgery. In Honduras, medicine is socialized. So supposedly, medical care is free, supposedly. But in order to get a surgery, let's just say you need your gallbladder out, or you need a hysterectomy, or you need anything that is not an emergency, it is not an emergency. So you're going to wait, and you may go to the public hospital, and you may go back to the public hospital, and you may wait 2 or 3 years because you're not an emergency. So that is what we're able to do. We're able to give people surgery that they would normally have to wait several years for. And that, the way we do it is people come to our clinic. We have Honduran doctors and nurses that work in our clinic 24 hours a day, 6 days a week, and they screen the patients for surgery, and they put them on a list. We know when our surgery teams are coming and what kind of surgeries they'll be able to do. So people start getting on a list. We will start having surgical teams the end of January. So November, we started putting people on a list. And so that's how we get those patients. This year and most years outside of the COVID years, we do about 600 surgeries a year. So that's a pretty big number, and we're excited that this year we have about the same number of teams that we've had in the last couple of years, so we'll be on track to do about that same amount of surgeries. The next slide just shows how we share the gospel. We don't just let people come in and get their surgery. They're going to hear the gospel several times before they even get to see the doctor. So this right here is a group of people that are actually waiting to have their surgery that day. And that's Chris and one of our translators that works with us regularly, just sharing the gospel right there. They can't go anywhere, so they got to listen. And then after they go in from this setting, they'll go in and get their gown on, get their IV started, and be, you know, closer to the surgery time, and then they hear the gospel again. So it's all about bringing those people in to help them physically, but we help them. We try to help them spiritually. You know, as many people will say, "No, I'm not ready. No, today's not the time." But a lot of times when you're waiting on a surgery, you're a little bit scared. You're not quite sure what's going on. And if you don't know the Lord, you're looking for somebody to help you through that. So we're able to see a lot of people come to know the Lord in that setting. In the next slide. Oh, this is just some giveaways. So some other things that we do besides the surgical teams in Guaymaca, we have a lot of different types of teams that come. The team that came from your church just did door-to-door evangelism. So they just went out into communities every day and just shared the gospel in people's homes. And that's another thing that's different in Honduras than it is in the States. How many of you would let somebody who walked up to your door just come on in and sit down and tell you about Jesus? That don't happen very often here in the States. But in Honduras, they welcome you into their home. They pull out all their chairs for you. They don't want to sit down themselves. They want to stand, and they want you to sit down, and they'll listen to you all day long. So we have those types of teams. We also have teams that bring giveaways. And so here's boxes of shoes that we take to either schools or a small community, and we give that away. The next picture, I think, is, what is she? A little dress. Yeah, I can't see very good from there, so I had to look back. So this is clothes. And we just, you know, you just use gifts in order to share the gospel. And so we have that. We also have, on the next slide, is just a group of people receiving gifts. And that's our Bible school kids. So we have teams that that come on our campus, and we go and we pick kids up from a local school. Their schools are like community schools so that they can walk to school. So we have quite a few community schools in Guaymaca. And so when the team comes, they say, "Okay, we want to see about 50 children each afternoon for a Bible school activities." And so we tell Alan, who's our Honduran team coordinator, we say, "Alan, we need 50 kids this afternoon." So he goes to a school, he picks up about 60 kids and brings them back to us. And we do that however many days a week that the team wants to do that. So that's another activity that we do. I don't know what this is. Oh, this is, I can, just cannot see good up there. So this is feeding some children. We also feed children in some of our teams. So children go to school at 7 o'clock in the morning, and then about 8:30, 9 o'clock, they have a break for breakfast. Food is not provided through the schools. It's all provided through their parents. And so we take that opportunity to tell the schools, hey, we're coming this morning. We're going to bring food for the kids. So we bring food and we feed the children, share a Bible story, an activity sometimes. Sometimes we have gifts for them, but we do that and we're able to go into the schools. and so that's a blessing because we know in the United States we can't go into schools and share Jesus like we would want to. But in Honduras, we're able to go and do that. And then the next slide is just giveaways. So sometimes teams just buy items that Honduran families need. And when we go to their homes to share the gospel, we can look around and we can say, hey, they may need a mattress or they may need something for a baby. And the team has already purchased a lot of items, and we have them on our bus sitting out in the street. Excuse me. And so then we give them a little ticket. And we say, well, thank you for letting us share the gospel with you. And now we have a gift for you. And they can go to the bus and they can pick up whatever item it is that the team thought that they might need in their home. And that is a huge blessing because we're able to give them things that they actually need.
So all these ministries she's mentioned so far, all this is funded by the teams. Yes, it's a big expense to go to Honduras. You're going to buy an airline ticket. There's a team fee to pay. Then whatever ministry you want to do, you got to fund it. And so it's a big expense, but God provides. He's been providing for us, like I said, 50 years. This is just another ministry we do right here. It's a big water tank that we fill. We have good water wells. There is no clean public drinking water in all of Honduras, pretty much. And so we go out and deliver clean drinking water as a way to get in the door to share the gospel. We deliver all over our town. They normally get their water out of the rivers. And during the dry season, the rivers dry up. They start rationing the water in the systems. They have a system, but it's not clean water. And so they can ration it, cut off this neighborhood. They might cut them off for a month because the dry season goes a long time down there. It's about half the year. And so we go around delivering clean drinking water and opening doors and trying to open hearts. So we do that a lot. Teams love doing that. It's a great ministry to do. Basically that expense is on us. We have the truck, the water wells, and we just need bodies to go and share. And so you got the next. Oh, thank you. You want one? I got a bottle of water right there. Yeah, we ain't letting Dave talk. He don't need one. Next picture. This is just a picture of going door to door, sharing the gospel. This was a great moment in this picture. The young lady in the yellow shirt right there, that's O'Reilly. She's actually our neighbor, but she's one of our translators. Sweet young lady. And actually, me and her stayed behind after a medical team was going door to door. And we visited with the team, with the family, shared the gospel with them. And two of the teenagers there accepted Christ that day. And I didn't have that picture, but the mama was sitting there with just tears rolling down her face. But it was tears of joy that they accepted Christ that day. And so another ministry that we do also, we do construction ministry for you gentlemen. You think, well, you don't have nothing for me. Yes, we do. And it's not just for gentlemen, it's open to ladies too. But there's all types of construction projects we can do. It's just sometimes we have projects on campus we need to take care of. And so we might do something on campus, in a church, someone's home. We might go into school. Because Denise mentioned the schools allow us to come in, and we try to reward them in ways to say thank you. We might go in, paint classrooms. We might pour a sidewalk at a school or something. Just anything that we see the people need. And it just shows Christ's love, that someone does care, and it's Him that cares. And it's just so many different ways to go in and do ministries in Honduras. I think that's all our photos. I want to just real quick say, probably answer a question. Why are you in Honduras? Why aren't you doing ministry here in the States? Because we need it too. Yes. We never really talked about doing a foreign mission trip in our life when we went on our first one in 2008. We got a phone call from our local veterinarian asking us to go on a mission trip to Honduras. He had been going with a team, and he said, I want to get some people together and go learn and start a team in our hometown. And after we talked to him, we said, yes, we'll go. And enjoyed the experience while I was there, that first trip. God spoke to me and said, I'm not done with you in Honduras. I didn't even know if I was going to want to go back to Honduras. I had no clue. First experience, whatever, and I come home, I talk to my pastor, my brother, and mission trips are emotional. You know, it'll go away. No, it didn't go away. But God put it on my heart to be a missionary in Honduras, and I had no idea I was going to do that. No idea. And me and Denise, ended up forming a team in our hometown, and we become the team captains, the leaders of that team. And for 3 years, we did that before we went to the mission field. But for 3 years, I wanted to be a missionary, and she didn't want no part of it. We were doing exactly what God wanted us to do, she would say. And I said, no, He wants more. And it became a struggle in our marriage because we wasn't on the same page of where we needed to be serving the Lord. And but finally, God spoke to her after I tried. And we finally agreed on one thing yesterday, me and her. There was a dish towel we saw. We went to Amish country yesterday. What did that dish towel say?
Don't question your husband's choices. You were one of them.
Yeah. Only thing we ever agreed on. But that's what, you know, the reason we went to Honduras is because God put it on our heart. He asked us. He gave us a choice. We could have said no and stayed serving in our local church. But, you know, we wanted to be obedient to our Heavenly Father. And we said yes. And there's been no regrets. He's provided for us. Like I said, BMDMI is its own NGO, self-supported. Missionaries within BMDMI has to be self-supported. They do not pay us. We raise our funds. Y'all help us with that. But God provides. He provides for all of it. If y'all's church, y'all got a week in August, if y'all decide y'all want to go, trust God. He's going to provide for that week. He's going to provide the materials you need. He's going to provide a way to get there. Then He's going to provide the ministry that He wants you to do in Honduras. And just give Him praise and glory for all of it.
Can you tell our congregation what you do?
Before being a missionary, I had many jobs in my life. But when God called me to be a missionary, I had my own water well business. I serviced water wells, drilled water wells. I let Denise talk about herself. And okay, she gave me permission. And Denise is a pharmacist by trade, but our ministry in Guamaca run a medical clinic. She worked retail. She never worked in a hospital. We take care of medical clinic and surgical teams. I always say God's got a sense of humor where He puts you, where He wants you to serve. And I didn't know nothing about no medical clinic, especially medical equipment. I'm a handyman. I can just about fix anything, except when it comes to wood. I do not do woodwork. But electrical stuff, I got a background and all that. But he put us in a medical clinic and working with these teams, getting things ready, taking care of everything after they leave for them to do surgery. But he provided for us in many ways. I'm going to give you one quick example he provided for me. These teams that come down, there was retired technicians that worked on medical equipment. They sit down with me, taught me how to work on the equipment to take care of it so we could keep using it over and over. One time there was this team come down. It was 70 people on this team. No, 60. And team captain come to me and said, "Chris, I got a gentleman here. I have nothing for him to do. I just can't find something for him to do." But before he got there, I had trouble with the phone system there, and we had a phone in every room, and where you could call, page, whatever, and I knew nothing about phone system. If you ever looked at one, it's 1,000 wires, and so I avoided our Honduran administrator because she kept saying, "Hey, I need these phones working, I just kept avoiding her. I'm busy, I'll work on them later, and so team captain brought that gentleman to me, and he said, "Yes, I need something for him to do." I said, "What'd you do in the state?" He said, "Well, I'm retired now, but I work for AT&T. And so I just learned God's going to provide if we'll wait on Him and don't try to do it ourselves. Sometimes we won't be God in our lives. But a lot of times we just need to pray, wait, and look at the way He answers that prayer.
Is there anything that we should know about Honduran culture that was a shock to you? And what are some things that you've adjusted to and even things that you miss when you're visiting the States?
Well, the Honduran culture is very laid back. They're not on time for anything. And that
sounds like
drives
Grinch.
Me crazy. But I have learned to just go with that. And so I know if we say something starts at 9 o'clock, well, I do not get in a hurry to be there before 9 o'clock. 10 minutes after is early because they're really probably not going to start till about 9:30. So that was a big thing for me. That was not an issue for Chris because he doesn't care to be on time. He never has. And so it's always been. So he's just happy in that Honduran culture that way.
I don't care if we go late either.
Yeah. You know, the Hondurans are very family oriented, and that's a huge blessing. You know, a lot of generations live together and support each other. And in Honduras, there's not a whole lot of full-time jobs. And so in those family units, one or two people may work a regular job and the others just work a part-time job or a seasonal job because that's the majority of work that's there. A lot of seasonal jobs in our area is coffee. They grow a lot of coffee in our area. They plant tomatoes, bell peppers, all kinds of crops like that in our area. So people work in the times of planting and in the times of harvesting. And so in between those times, there's not a whole lot of income coming into their families. So we see that, how they live, how they survive day by day. And many, I would say the majority of Hondurans know there is a God because they trust God to provide for them each and every day. When COVID hit, Honduras locked down, and I just couldn't understand how the Hondurans were surviving, because many of them live in a home without a refrigerator. They don't have a pantry full of food, and they would have to wait a week. There was a number system, and you could go to the store based on your number once a week. But most Hondurans live day to day. They work today to buy their food for tomorrow. And so that was a big thing. And we were able to, during that time, buy food, bag food up, and take it to different communities to be able to help with that. But that's some of the things that the way that they live is different than the way that we live. Many homes in Honduras do not have indoor plumbing. They have an outdoor toilet. And so that right there, you know, that's hard for us to even imagine, because that's not something that we've had in the United States in a long time. So,
just to give you perspective of Honduras, it's not a very big country. It's about the size of the state of Tennessee. And there's about 8 million people that live in Honduras. The capital is close to where we live. It's about an hour and a half away. It's 70 square miles. Over 2 million people live in 70 square miles, just stacked on top of each other. Even in the capital, there's no sewer system. There's no public water system, so clean drinking water. 80% of Honduras, 20% of Honduras may be full-time employed. And most of that employment is minimum wage. And minimum wage in Honduras is about $500 a month. And so when Denise said they look for seasonal work, if they don't have a full-time job, which is 80% of the country, they're doing seasonal work or construction, something like that, when they can find it. It averages out to about $5, $6 a day is what it averages out to. And I want to encourage you, if you've never been out of the country, consider going to a third world country. There's only about, probably less, there's less than 10 countries I know that live like we do in the U.S. with all the material things we have, all the job opportunities, all the, I want to say, can be easiness of life, of being comfortable. And I always think about this, and I ask groups this, and I kind of wonder what the answer is to it too. Why did God choose me or allow me to be born in a country with so many opportunities? And the best reason I come up with is to use it to glorify Him, to serve Him, to share, to... And I think about Israel, the Old Testament. Man, when they followed God and stayed in His ways, see, they were chosen. They were chosen by God to show all the other countries that if you will follow me, how good it can be in your life. And when they followed Him, it was good. But what happened? When they started living wanting more earthly goods, worshiping other things, worshiping their car, teenagers, taking their focus off Him as number one. What happened to them? He's broke them up. And so it just changed my life when I went. And I saw it on TV before I went and everything, but it did not... I didn't grasp it until I put my eyes on it. And it's life-changing. But most of all, when you run across a fellow Christian down there, the encouragement they can give you, the faith that they have, because a lot of times we put our dependency on what we have done here. You know, the good job I got and everything. But you come across a family that don't have nothing in their house. Just, they have a house. And but then see the faith they have, how God provides for them, and how thankful they are just for that house they have, even though there's nothing in it. Oh, does it grow you?
Last question. And you guys tour a number of churches. You're supporting churches. Probably have a home church in the States. Are there things you come back when you visit that you just think, man, that's an issue in the States that we wouldn't have in a Honduran church? Yeah.
No.
All right.
All churches are the same. No matter where you go. I use this illustration. I'll take a moment. I had a gentleman I was sharing the gospel with, and he was a carpenter. And we've been going to this community. We go every year. I mean, team after team, we go there and deliver water. And a lot of teams say, why don't we keep coming here? I said, how many times you had to hear the gospel before you accepted it? And I said, we don't give up. They're close. They're a close community to where they can go and worship at our church. You know, we go 10 miles up in the mountains, there's no church, you know. It's still good to go and share the gospel, but there's no church there yet. But he said, nah, I used to go to that church. I had a bunch of hypocrites. You know, and they go say they do this and do that, and you know, in church, and then they go out and totally different person. And I said, yeah. And I said, well, God's word tells us we're all sinners. That every one of us sin, we're not perfect, and I don't know anybody here that can please everyone. You know, some people just don't get along. They don't. That's just the way it is. And as I was talking to him, and I said, well, why don't we build a church? Me and you, would you go to it? I said, we'll build a perfect church. You're a carpenter. You can do the measurements. You can build it, and we'll worship together. And I said, well, let's just pretend we build it. And you build it, and you build that perfect church. You measure it 10 times. It's square. Everything is measured and done. And you come and tell me it's ready. And you invite me in, and we walk in. You said, and he tells me, it's perfect. I'm going to say, no, it's not. He's going to say, why not? I said, because we're in it. We have sin in our life. That building might have been built to exact measurements, but it's not the church. It's the temple where you come and worship. You are the church. And I don't care what church you're in, you're going to have problems. But the best thing I found to resolve those problems, be humble and say, I'm no one. I have to tell myself that. Pride is sneaky. God put me on my knees many times as in Honduras. I realized I had pride in my life and didn't put him first. So take care of your church. The devil is sneaky. He's going to want to tear you apart because he don't like it. But when you realize it, don't be prideful. Humble yourselves. Repent. Go to your neighbor and say, I'm sorry. Forgive me.
So, as Pastor Dave said, we do go to a lot of churches, and over the last 12 years, we've been to a lot of different churches, and we're a little bit judgmental. We judge churches based on their worship time, their music, and I'll just say you guys are an A+.
Thank you. All right, well, that's all the time we have with them. I'm going to ask them after the last worship song. They'll be back in the cafe if you want to talk with them more. That way we don't block people trying to get out. But thank you so much for being with us. We got him up here in the winter, so the Lord does miracles. And we've just enjoyed your visit. So let me pray for you both. Lord, we just thank you for Chris and Denise. We thank you for the work that you've laid before them. We thank you for the opportunity to partner with them. Lord, I pray that our prayer teams would be remembering them. I pray that our young people and those that have a desire to serve would consider Honduras as a possible landing spot, whether it's for a missions trip or things you're doing in the future, maybe in their lives to be there more permanently. And Lord, we pray that you continue to fund their ministry, that you would raise up other partners that could be generous and provide for the needs that they have. And we ask for gospel fruitfulness. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we close our service, thank you guys. Let's thank them for being with us today. Oh, good. Just want to close with this verse from Matthew 9:35. Speaks of Jesus. It says, "And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to the disciples, 'Harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of a harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" I think it's fascinating. First thing he says is pray. Pray that God would provide. So I want to tell you how you can do that. When we meet in our small groups in our Bible study, we pray together. Our staff prays together. We have ladies that meet for prayer on Wednesday morning. If you are free and not working and would like to join them, come on Wednesday morning. You can meet with Gail or Becky. They'll let you know the times. But also, too, there's an opportunity for generosity. So we pray that we will find ways to be more and more generous as a church so that we can reach local and we can support ministries reaching far away. So pray how you might be involved with raising up laborers for the harvest. And I just encourage you, the first place you start is on your knees. And we ask that you would join us in that effort. Thank you.